Hi, this is Becky, Engagement Manager at Beacon. This week's edition of the Black Country Talking newspaper is for Wednesday, the 16th of September 2020.
Welcome to the Black Country Talking News, brought to you by sightless charity Beacon Centre. I'm Simon. We are pleased to inform you that our Talking News service is now once again available in CD format. And to those who have received their CD in the post, you'll notice they're in paper envelopes, not the usual plastic wallets, so there's no need to send anything back. Our Talking News service is also available via the following methods. Online, by visiting Beacon's website, www.beaconvision.org/talking-news, as a podcast on the Black Country Radio website, www.blackcountryradio.co.uk/on-air/podcasts. On Spotify and Apple Podcasts, simply search Beacon Black Country Talking News and hit the subscribe button, and on your mobile or tablet device by downloading the free British Wireless for the Blind Talking News application from your App Store. We hope you enjoy this week's edition. Now, just like last week, we bring you a different Talking News. During lockdown, Beacon temporarily suspended sending out the Black Country Talking News on CD, but still produced it online and digitally. So for our CD listeners, we're going to bring you some of those items we've previously done, but you've missed. Plus, we've got one or two new items to throw in too. For this week, we're bringing you a magazine-style Black Country Talking News, with our news service returning back as normal next week. So let's get going. Reading this week, we have Mina, Flashback Roger, Pete, Kez, Black Country History Steve, Tom, Talking Book Steve, and me, Simon. This week, we have a weekly quiz. We look at traditional Black Country food in Black Country history. On This Week in History, with our flashback section, poetry by one of our volunteer readers, Ian, more sight loss tips with Pete, our Talking Book review, environmental and sustainability ideas for outside with Kez, plus a music quiz at the end. Now, last week's music quiz. It's over to you, Pete.
Well, let's run through the answers then and see how you got on. Question number one was performing under his last name only. Who had a number one in 1972 with Without You? And the answer was Nielsen. Question number two. Now, I think you'll know question number two. I think you got this one. What colour ribbon did Dawn tie around the old oak tree in 1973? Well, the answer was yellow, a yellow ribbon. And finally, question number three, which Canadian had his final hit in 1974 with You're Having My Baby? The answer was Paul Anka. Thank you to Andy Coulson for sending them in. We've got yet another music quiz coming up at the end. So for that, well, for now, it's back to you, Simon.
Thanks, Pete. A music quiz and our flashback section to come a little bit later on. But let's start off with Black Country history now, with Steve.
Hi. For this week's edition, I'm going to be talking about the history of Black Country food. The food enjoyed here at the turn of the 20th century tells us a lot about Black Country people and the lives they lived. Times were often hard and money in short supply for many families here in the Black Country. Therefore, the food they consumed often reflected that. Men were often engaged in industries where the work was hard and the hours long, for example in mines, factories and foundries. Women didn't have it any easier at home either. Many, in addition to caring for any children and cooking, cleaning and washing, would often be engaged in some form of work to supplement the household's low income, for example making nails and chain, taking in laundry or sewing, or even converting their front room into shops, selling anything they could get their hands on. For these reasons, many foods eaten were cheap, as they had little money, easy, as they didn't have much time to prepare it, and nutritious and filling, due to the intensive work they were engaged in. The high-calorie foods enjoyed were often referred to as ribstickers or ballyfillers. Due to lack of funds, families had to be as self-sufficient as possible. Those fortunate enough to have their own garden would allocate the majority of it to growing vegetables to supplement their diet. As there were very few imports, certain types of vegetables were only available at particular periods of the year. Therefore, families would make preserves, enabling them to get vital nutrients all year round. This included making jams and chutneys and salting and pickling vegetables. Meats were also salted and cured, prolonging their life. In addition to the growing of vegetables, livestock were also frequently kept, such as chickens, which provided a ready supply of eggs, and rabbits, which provided meat. Pig keeping was particularly widespread in the Black Country, as they were cheap to care for, fed off kitchen waste, and every bit of it could be used, except for the squeal. The kitchen was the main living area of any household, and where food was prepared and eaten. The focal point of the kitchen was the range. The range provided the source of heat, and was where hot water was sourced and cooking took place. The range had hobs on either side for food and water to simmer, and a side of them for baking and roasting. Food could also be fried over the open fire, and a bottle jack, predecessor of the rotisserie, could be used to cook meat. Many Black Country dishes were born out of necessity, improving with slow cooking. They were often left to simmer on a hob at the side of the range throughout the day whilst the entire family was busy working. When it came to meal times, as families were often large, meals were taken in turns. Fathers were always given preference in both quantity and quality of meals. This was a recognition that the well-being of the entire family rested on the health and stamina of the main breadwinner, the father. As a result of this, children on occasion would have to make do with merely a bit of bread and lard dripping. Although Black Country people enjoyed similar types of meals as their fellows throughout industrial Britain, such as steak and kidney pudding, rabbit stew, roly-poly pudding, eggy fingers and baked potatoes, there were also distinct Black Country foods, some of which continue to be enjoyed today, such as grated pudding, baguettes and peas, grey peas and bacon, and bread pudding.
Thank you, Steve. Now, I must admit, I love food. I eat nothing else. Yeah, we'll move past that one. But now it's that time of the week again, quiz time. Is it you asking the questions, Mina?
It is, Simon. So, let's have a look back at this week in history with some questions to test you. Remember, Roger will have the answers for you in our flashback section coming up later. Are you ready? Question 1. In what year did Michelangelo start on his famous sculpture of David? Question 2. What was the name of the Russian craft that was sent to the moon in 1959? Question 3. What was the name of the actor who played the part of the Lone Ranger in the TV series? And for a bonus point, what was the name of his trusty companion? Question 4. In 1893, in America, the world's largest free land grab took place. What was the name given to those settlers who took part? Question 5. In 1954, William Golding's novel, Lord of the Flies, was published, but whose spectacles were used to start a fire? And finally, question 6. In what year did the first bodybuilding contest take place? Answers are coming up later, so good luck.
Yes, the answers will be coming up in our flashback section, and again with Mina at the end of this week's edition of the Black Country Talking News. Now, eye health, something we should all be aware of. Here's Pete telling us more.
This week, some tips to help keep your eyes healthy. The first one is have an eye test. The most common eye conditions include age-related macular degeneration, diabetic retinopathy, cataracts and glaucoma. Almost 50% of eye problems can be treated successfully if caught early. For many, eye conditions once the sight is gone is not recoverable. So make sure you get your eyes tested at least every 2 years. Diet is also very important. with sight loss. Having a balanced diet is important, and eating well. Kale, spinach, blackberries and bananas are just some of the foods that can help improve your eye health. There are many links now with smoking and sight loss. So smoking can double the risk of age-related macular degeneration. It's important to try and exercise regularly. Exercise can reduce the risk of weight gain, which can lead to conditions such as diabetes, which can lead to diabetic retinopathy, which is a form of sight loss. It's very important to protect your eyes from the sun. Wearing sunglasses and glasses or contact lenses with built-in UV filters will protect your eyes from UVA and UVB rays, which can increase the risk of developing conditions such as cataracts. Now, if you use a computer or a screen regularly, have you heard of the 20-20-20 rule? Well, that is every 20 minutes, when you're using your screen, look 20 feet away for 20 seconds to give your eye muscles a break and help increase the rate of blinking. Check your lighting. Bright light can cause eye strain, so avoid lights directly behind your screen that will reflect on the display. Make sure you put your monitor about 18 to 24 inches away and positioned slightly below eye level so you aren't looking up at your screen. And if you are struggling to read, well, make the font size a little larger. You can adjust your computer so you can have different contrasts and colours to suit your needs, not just black print on a white background.
If you need a bit of help with technology or help with your laptop, tablet or mobile phone, call us at Beacon on 01902 880 111. That number again, 01902 880 111. There's lots we can help you with. Talking Books now, and here's Talking Books Steve.
Hi there everybody, and welcome to this week's audio book review. This week I've decided to give a listen to a contemporary romance called Forget-Me-Not by Brenda Jackson. This particular audiobook was narrated by Ron Butler and lasts about 9 hours and 10 minutes, so plenty of time to kick your feet up in the garden, grab your favourite drink and listen away. So this is the second book in a series that by Brenda Jackson, which revolve around Catalina Cove. And this time round, Brenda Jackson welcomes you back to Catalina Cove, where love is waiting to be reclaimed. Ashley Ryan never doubted that her husband, Devon, was the love of her life. Even now, 3 years after Devon died in a car wreck while on a business trip, Ashley can't bring herself to move on. But when a girlfriend surprises her with a getaway to the beautiful Catalina Cove, Louisiana, she gets the shock of her life when she encounters a man, bearded, more rugged than before, but unmistakably her Devon. Ray Sullivan moved to this quiet coastal town after waking up in a hospital with amnesia, haunted by a life he can't remember. He's built walls around his heart and a quiet little life running boat tours, a life that includes no recollection of Ashley, a woman to whom he suddenly finds himself irresistibly drawn. Doctors warn Ashley of the danger in forcing her husband to remember the past, though she longs to tell him the truth. She simply finds herself falling all over again for a man she knows may never truly come back to her. In this place where healing and second chances are just a heartbeat away, can love take root once more? Well, you're going to have to listen to it for yourself and find out. I hope you enjoy it. Let us know what you think. And as always, get in touch. Let us know if there's any books that you would like reviewing, and we'll do that in one of the weeks coming up. Okay, take care everybody, stay safe, and speak to you soon. Bye bye.
There's more Talking Book reviews over the coming weeks, so stay tuned for those. This week in history time now, and with the answer to the quiz, it's over to you, Flashback Roger.
Hi, this is Roger again, and this is our flashback section where we take a look at some events for the years gone by for the week of the 13th to the 19th of September. And where, of course, you'll find the answers to the quiz questions that we set earlier. The Italian Renaissance artist Michelangelo began his work on his marble sculpture of David on the 13th of September 1501. He completed it in 1504. It was originally commissioned for the Florence Cathedral, but after completion they realised that there was no way to move the 6-ton statue to the top of the cathedral. So, instead, it was placed in front of the Piazza del Signore, and in 1873 it was moved to the Accademia Gallery in Florence. A replica was placed in the Piazza del Signore in 1910. The first man-made object to strike the moon happened on September 14, 1959. Soviet Lunik 2, launched 2 days earlier, deliberately impacted the moon. It carried various instruments such as a magnetometer and a Geiger counter to measure radiation. It also contained 2 Russian pennants. In the final approach to its demise, it released a bright orange gas so that it could be more easily tracked by a telescope from Earth. On September 15, 1949, the television show The Lone Ranger debuts on ABC in the United States, starring Clayton Moore as the masked hero, accompanied by his faithful sidekick Tonto. Together they rode the range, helping to keep the law and righting wrongs. The TV series ran until 1957. Before that, it had been a successful radio show since 1933. September 16, 1893, saw the world's largest scramble for free land. More than 100,000 homesteaders descended on the 6-million-acre Cherokee Strip to stake their claim on 40,000 homesteads. The territory would become part of Oklahoma in 1907. The land had originally been set aside for the Cherokee Indians. However, U.S. President Benjamin Harrison forbade grazing leases in the Cherokee outlet after 2nd of October 1890, thus eliminating tribal profits from cattle leases, and the Cherokee agreed to sell these lands to the government. The settlers were known as boomers and weren't supposed to enter the territory until noon on September the 16th, but many snuck in early, becoming known as Sooners. The next day, on September the 17th in 1954, William Golding's Pulitzer Prize-winning book Lord of the Flies was published. It chronicled a group of British boys stranded on an uninhabited island and their attempt to govern themselves. I love this book. I had to read it for my O-level English at school. Now then, in the book, the boys take Piggy's glasses and use them to start a fire. However, as Piggy was short-sighted, the lens in this specs would not work as a burning glass. Now, don't tell me that this quiz ain't educational. The first bodybuilding contest was held on September the 14th, 1901. It was organised by strongman Eugene Sandow and held at the Royal Albert Hall in London. The judges included Sandow and Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, the creator of Sherlock Holmes. The winner was one William L. Murray of England. Murray weighed 189 pounds, that's 85.7 kilos, and 5'8" tall he was. After the competition, Murray began performing a strong act and putting on bodybuilding competitions until he enlisted for World War I. He was injured by poison gas during the war, which left him severely weakened. Well, that's your lot for this week, folks. Hope you enjoyed it. See you next week. This is Rod saying ta-ra for now. Ta-da!
Tra-tra-tra, Roger. And he's back next week with more events on This Week in History. If you missed them, the answers, we'll run through them at the end again with Mina, so don't worry too much about that. And now, when the football season resumed last season, supporters were not able to attend matches, and one of our volunteer readers, Ian, wrote a poem about not being able to go to the Molyneux to watch the Wolves match. And here it is again for all those of you who may have missed it.
Matchday Gold by Ian Rouse, read by Tom Rouse. Searching, cursing Chapel Ash to find a place to park, sitting freezing with the radio on, midweek in the dark. Teams are out, it's much the same, Franksy brings the news. Let's get at least a point today, we can't afford to lose. Mirrors in and layers on, ticket in my pocket. Leave the car, it's parked alright, did I forget to lock it? Walking past the Royal Oak, the smoker's shed is packed. Past the gold-girthed garglers, opinions never lacked. Smile at the chip shop window where everything's spelt wrong. Root corrupted pavements, brewery fumes so strong. Badges, scarves and programmes, nothing for me there. The smell of frying onions wafting through the air. Shrill moaners in the row behind, never watch the game. Talking non-stop garbage, the referee's to blame. Some we win, some we lose, occasionally a draw. The game can be the worst part, a 90-minute bore. We trudge back to the car again, result determines mood. Victory is always sweet, defeat turns language crude. We listen to the pundits, punters, experts, bores. We want to hear the manager, let's hear the other scores. We can't go to the match today, we've got to stay at home. Cultivate our gardens, read another tome. Now we know that what we have is worth much more than we thought. More than any victory, even those hard fought. Detectorists, we always search for trophies we can hold. Will we now remember we've already struck gold? Football fans all want to win trophies we can hold. Will we all remember, if we do grow old, we always took for granted match day gold?
If you've written a poem and would like to read it out, or it be read out by one of our talking newsreaders, then please get in touch. Beacon's contact details coming up towards the end of this week's edition. Now it's time for some environmental and sustainability ideas with Kez.
Today I'm going to talk about tips for being eco when you're out and about. For many people, myself included, one of the most challenging situations is trying to be eco-conscious when out and about, as you don't have access to all your usual stuff that you might have at home, and so you need to take your own kit out with you. So it's important to find items that work for you in terms of weight and functionality. For me, there's three main things that I take out if I'm going for a day out. I take a reusable straw in a bag, I take a reusable cup and or water bottle, and I take reusable cutlery with me. For me, having a reusable straw is really important because I don't particularly get on with paper straws, and also I know that in a lot of situations they end up going into the bin rather than into compost once they're used. So I shopped around and found a straw that suits my situation, and then I have the bag so that it can go into it once it's been used so everything else doesn't get wet. I absolutely adore a cup of coffee. So when I'm out and about, having a reusable cup is a must for me, as it allows me to have a coffee on the go, and I can top it up when out and about. And the great thing is, a lot of places now offer a discount on takeaway coffees if you're using your own cup. About a year ago, I also decided to invest in an insulated water bottle so that I can always have cool water when I'm out of the house. And I use something called the Refill app on my phone to find the nearest points to where I am so that I can fill up my water bottle for free. And then my final one, taking cutlery, might seem like a little bit of an odd choice, but I found that so many places that I eat while I'm out of the house only have single-use cutlery. So I invested in a foldable cutlery set to use instead. There's a huge amount of other options that you can look at for ways to be eco-conscious when out and about. What's really important is just finding something that works for you.
Thanks, Kez. Now, last week we brought you some sight loss tips and strategies. So with some more, here's Pete.
Here's a simple one. Elastic bands. Now, they can be very helpful around the home, very helpful to put over different products to help you identify them. So, for example, if you had food in your cupboard and you had tins, you could put one elastic band on tins of soup. You could put two elastic bands on, say, tins of beans, three elastic bands on tins of fruit, or you use your own system. But elastic bands are tactile, so maybe you can, by touch, you could identify what was what. You could use elastic bands with other things, maybe, such as shampoo and conditioner. So you know which one's the shampoo, which one's the conditioner, just by touch. Or perhaps with salt and pepper pots as well. There's a thought. Always important to keep things well lit, but also to try and keep light constant throughout the house. So from one room to another. So let's say you're in your lounge and you go into your hall, but say the lounge, the lights are light, or the lights are on in the hall, the lights are off. So you're going from light to dark. It's that adjustment that can sometimes be difficult with sight loss. So try and keep the light constant throughout the house. Carry a bag. Now, here's an interesting one. So this means that perhaps it's connected with light again. So when you're outside and you go into a building, maybe a shop or an office or something like that, or wherever it might be, and you go in from outside and the light is different. So you're going from light to dark and it's difficult to adjust sometimes. You can pretend to be rummaging in your bag. So while your eyes are adjusting to the light level, so you don't feel quite so awkward. So carry a bag and do a bit of rummaging. It's only pretending, but it might be an idea. Filter glasses. Now, filter glasses, they are over glasses that can go over your normal spectacles. And what filter do they do? They're coloured lenses and they do exactly what they say. They filter out the light, they filter out the glare, they reduce glare and can make life far more comfortable. So if you want to find out more about filter glasses or you want to try them on, please give us a call at Beacon and we can help you with that. So filter glasses are really very helpful. And if you wore a baseball hat or a sun hat that would act like a visor with a pair of filter glasses, that makes another difference as well. So some sort of sun hat or baseball cap can really help with a pair of filters. On your stairs, have you thought about on a handrail on your stairs? You could put a bump on at the bottom of the handrail and a bump on, or you could use an elastic band again if you wish, at the top of the rail. So when you're coming down the stairs, you can feel that you're at the edge of the stairs. When you're going up the stairs, you can feel that you're about to reach the top of the stairs. So maybe an elastic band or something, or a little mark or a little indentation or something where it's tactile, so you know where the top and the bottom are. You know, when you're at the hairdressers or the barbers and they take a mirror to the back of your head to have a look, and it might be difficult for you to see. So if you have a phone that would do it, you might ask the hairdresser, could you take a picture, please? And then they show you around the front. It might help. Just a thought. Bit of technology. Now, if you're struggling to find a small item you've dropped on the floor, maybe an earring or something really small, you could use your Hoover attachment with a thin sock or over the top of it, or over the end of the Hoover attachment. So when you're hoovering up, the suction will suck the item up, but it won't go up the Hoover, up the attachment. Well, they're not hoovers, are they? You know, they're vacuum cleaners, but you know what I mean. And so it won't go up there, it'll get stuck in the sock, so you can maybe find it that way. If you know roughly where you've dropped something, but you can't quite see it, maybe that might be something you might want to consider. When you're out and about, taking out money with you, one thought might be to only take one type of note. So let's say it's a £10 note, for argument's sake. So you know with confidence, when you're handing out cash, you know you're always handing a £10 note over. It's an idea, it's a thought, but also, I know on a £10 note, there's a little tactile bobble at the corner of a £10 note. So there isn't on the five, but there is on the 10. So you can feel at the corner, you'll feel a little bobble, so you know that's a £10 note. It's not on the five, but just on the 10. Now, if you have your own sight loss tips that we could share with others, well, we'd love to hear from you. So please give us a call on 01902 880 111. That's 01902 880 111. We'd love to hear from you.
We would. So please give us a call. Now, the quiz. Mina, can you give us the answers, please?
I can, Simon. So, who got all six right? Who didn't? Well, let's go through the answers and see. Question 1. In what year did Michelangelo start his famous sculpture of David? The answer is, it was in 1501. Question 2. What was the name of the Russian craft that was sent to the moon in 1959? The answer here is, it was Lunik 2. Question 3. What was the name of the actor who played the part of the Lone Ranger in the TV series? And for a bonus point, what was the name of his trusty companion? And the answer here, he was played by Clayton Moore. And the Lone Ranger's companion was, of course, Tonto. Question 4. In 1893, in America, the world's largest free land grab took place. What was the name given to those settlers who took part? And the answer here is, they were called the Boomers. Question 5. In 1954, William Golding's novel, Lord of the Flies, was published. But whose spectacles were used in the story to start a fire? And the answer here is, they belonged to Piggy. Finally, question 6. In what year did the first bodybuilding contest take place? And the answer here is 1901. Another quiz next week, but now it's time for this week's music quiz. That's right, isn't it, Simon?
It is, Mina. And with that in mind, are you ready, Pete?
I'm ready to test you again. And as always, thank you to Andy Coulson, for sending them in. And so, are you ready? Question number 1. In 1955, by the way, we want you to complete the title of these hits, okay? And I'm going to put the word what in for the missing word, so okay? So let's start again. In 1955, Under the Bridges of What by Eartha Kitt. So what was the missing word? In 1955, Under the Bridges of What by Eartha Kitt, okay? From 1956, fill in the missing word, Just Walking in the What by Johnny Ray. So Just Walking in the What by Johnny Ray. And finally, from 1957, The Adoration What by David Whitfield. The Adoration What by David Whitfield. We're testing you here, aren't we? We're testing you. As always, we'll give you the answers next week. Time to finish.
So that's it for another edition of the Black Country Talking News. A reminder to our CD listeners who have received CDs in padded envelopes that you don't need to send anything back to us. If you have a sight loss tip or someone you would like to wish a happy birthday to, just say hello to. Maybe even a poem or talking book you would like reviewed, then please get in touch with us at the Beacon Centre. Call 01902 880111. Email bctn@beaconvision.org or write to us at the Black Country Talking News, Beacon, Wolverhampton Road East, Wolverhampton, WV4 6AZ. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for listening, and thank you to all our supporters, donators and volunteers who without their support we would be unable to run this free service. Please note the information and views expressed in this recording does not necessarily represent the views of Beacon or Talking News and were accurate at the time of recording. Mentions of goods and services does not imply endorsement, and whilst every care is taken to supply accurate information, Beacon and Talking News do not undertake liability for any errors. So it's goodbye from all of us, stay safe, have a good week, and we look forward to bringing you next week's edition of the Black Country Talking News. Ta-ra!